It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning, and it is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your hostess with the mostest, Monica Lovell, this morning, and Miss Neva Pyatt is over there running the iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Delight Dwight Shepherd. How are you, sir?
I'm blessed and highly favored. You ever heard that before?
Oh, yeah. Blessed and highly flavored with Jesus' favor. Amen.
Amen. As are all our listeners, blessed and highly favored.
Yes. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to our email, hourofpower@cableone.net, or you can post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Joshua's Crossing Ministries, located here in the Promise Center in Elk City, Oklahoma. I think I covered it all this morning. Oh, I forgot to turn my phone down.
You got a ding, didn't you?
Yeah, would you please pray to start us out?
We will. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you this morning for your faithfulness, for your love, for your covenant of grace and mercy. We thank you that you so loved the world that you gave Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, and that you promised us that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And Lord, we know that everlasting life is not just about the longevity of life, but the quality of our life, Father. Jesus said the thief came only to kill, steal, and destroy, but Jesus said, I've come that they, the believers, may have life and that more abundantly. And we're so thankful for that, Jesus. We're thankful for the love that you demonstrated toward us. And we pray that during this program today that that love would just be attached to every word that is spoken and go forth through this media means, Lord, that you have given us. And, Father, we're thankful for this ministry. We're thankful for it, Lord. We ask your blessing upon it. We pray you bless the equipment today. Bless every listener, Father God. Let no one be distracted or hindered from what you would have them to receive today, and we will be careful to give you all the praise. We ask your grace in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning.
Receiving the promises.
Yeah.
We need that, don't we? Well, first of all, you got to know there are some, so that's going to require that you open the Bible. Mm-hmm. Probably going to require, too, that you attend church where the Bible's preached. That'd be a pretty good pre-qualifier to receiving the promises. I know, you know, there are a lot of times I grew up always. I can't remember not knowing about Jesus being the Son of God and dying on a cross, but knowing about it, believing it, putting your trust and faith in it, those are different subjects, you know. And but I don't remember knowing a whole lot else because I didn't read the Bible for myself. I just didn't until I was an adult. And I'm thankful to God as a young adult in my 20s that he got a hold of my heart and pointed me toward his word. And that from ever since then, from now, I've just been a student of the word and I've learned about what God promised. And I've been amazed at how much I didn't know. You know, I was a little bit like Will Rogers. They said Will Rogers, or not Will Rogers, but golly, brain work. The one that wrote Tom Sawyer. Now see if y'all's brains can work. Okay. Anyway, he was quoted as saying this. Yeah, it's right there on the tip of my tongue. Bit it out.
Yeah.
But hey, first one that responds to us and tells us who that author is that wrote Tom Sawyer, you're going to receive a special prize. I bet we got a book or something around here we need to give away.
Oh, yeah.
But let us know you're out there and you're listening. But he was quoted as saying this. He said, you know, when I was 14 years old, I could not believe how ignorant my father was. And when I was 21 years old, I was amazed at how much the old man had learned.
And we have an answer.
We have an answer.
Mark Twain.
Mark Twain. Yeah. There you go.
Thank you, Linda.
Linda got that. All right, we find something around here. If we don't have a book here, I'll bring one. I've got some brand new books, faith books. We'll get you one, get it to you. Praise God. But he was quoted as saying, you know, I couldn't believe how ignorant my father was, and then I couldn't believe how much he had learned. How many of you know it wasn't the father that changed? It was him. And, you know, God doesn't change. The Bible in Malachi 4:6, he said, I am the Lord, and I change not. That means if we see Jesus, we look back on the life of Jesus and we see through the Gospels how Jesus operated on earth. I'm reminded of a conversation that took place between Jesus and his disciples. They were in the upper room. It was literally right before Jesus' betrayal. And Jesus, it's recorded in John chapter 14. Why don't we just go there and put our eyes on it? I hadn't planned on going there today, but I'll go wherever the Holy Spirit takes us. But in John 14, Jesus said this, John 14:1, he said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Now, he's in the upper room on the night that he's going to be betrayed and then led out for crucifixion the next morning. And Jesus was aware of every bit of that. None of that surprised him at all. He was trying to prepare his disciples for that, what they were going to see, because what they were going to see was going to rock their world. And he said this, he said in John 14:1, he said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your heart, don't let it. That means it's your choice, my choice. Nothing can trouble me unless I let it trouble me. That's the way I take that. Now, things are going to come and try to trouble me, and there certainly are going to be some troubling things, but I don't have to be troubled over everything that comes my way. Even the worst things that can happen to us in life, I mean, we may not like it, but when he's saying, don't let your hearts be troubled, I'm thinking he's saying, don't let it overcome you with grief. You know, grief is literally the spiritual exact opposite of God's joy. Joy and grief are opposites. Like chaos and peace are opposites, and love and hate are opposites. And these are all spiritual forces. These are not just emotional feelings. These are spiritual forces. The peace of God is a spiritual force. The chaos of the enemy is a spiritual force trying to trouble your spirit and soul and make you doubt God. Satan's ultimate goal, you know, Jesus said, the thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. It's interesting that he lists steal first, because the thing that the enemy wants to steal from you, he wants to steal your confidence in the love of God. He wants to steal your trust in the Word of God. He wants to steal your relationship with God. And then if he can get that done, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He wants to kill. He wants to kill things in your life, including you. But then in doing so, he wants to destroy. He wants to destroy the kingdom of God. That's his number one thing, is Satan would love to destroy the kingdom of God. But you know as well as I do, he can't do it. But that doesn't mean he won't try. And everywhere he goes, he tries to steal and kill and destroy. But Jesus told the disciples, don't let your hearts be troubled. Do not allow it. Don't put up with it. Don't tolerate it. Don't let your hearts be troubled. And then he began to explain how they're going to accomplish that. He said, trust in God and trust also in me. Some translations say you trust in God, trust also in me. So you could literally say this, trouble is a trust issue.
Come on.
Hallelujah. Or actually, you might say it this way, being troubled is a lack of trust issue. When I'm not letting trouble trouble me, it's because I've only got one reason. It's not because it's not troubling. There are a lot of troubling things in this world. But Jesus said, be of good cheer. He said, you'll have tribulation in this world. Tribulation, trouble, same thing. He said, but be of good cheer. I thought you said I was going to have tribulation. I did. But be of good cheer. You mean I can be of good cheer when I'm having tribulation? Yeah, if you don't let your heart be troubled. But how am I going to not let my heart be troubled? Well, he said, trust in God. It's simply just that. It is a matter of, do you put your trust in God? And some people, I think, get confused where they think that trust is an emotion. Like, I feel like I'm trusting God. You know, trust is not an emotion. Trust is a decision. Trust is a decision, like you read in the stories of old, and Daniel's a great place to read of some stories of trust. One occurrence in the book of Daniel is when said it's illegal to pray. We've mandated it. You know, prayer causes the spreading of a virus. I'm just being funny. But, you know, the government overreach back in that day, that king, he wanted everybody to bow down to him. And so he's like, you know what? No prayer. It was actually Daniel's enemies that instigated the king to do that because they hated Daniel and wanted to get at him. They couldn't find any way to accuse him because he lived a right life. So therefore, the only way they could find anything to get at Daniel was through his consistent relationship with his God. And they knew that Daniel prayed every day. And so they went to the king and tricked him into making a decree that for the next month, no one can pray to anyone except for to the king. They knew Daniel wouldn't cow down to that mandate. And so Daniel didn't. And therefore, he was thrown into the lion's den. But while he's in the lion's den, he was still prayed. Nothing really changed with Daniel. I mean, he's praying outside the lion's den. He's praying in the lion's den. That ought to minister something to somebody right there. If you're already a person of prayer before trouble comes, before the trial shows up, all you do is continue to do the same thing you did before. It's like that trial ain't going to change. It's not going to change you. It's not going to change the way you go about things. It's not going to change your belief in God or your heart towards God or your love for God. It's you may have to go through it, but you'll go through it so you can grow through it. Amen. Don't let it grow in you. You grow in it because you're coming out the other side. Yeah. Question is, are you coming out the other side with your faith intact? And that's going to be dependent on one thing and one thing only. Do you trust God? Oh yeah, I trust God. Do you really trust God when things don't go the way you think they ought to go? Because that happens. You're going to have some disappointments in life. You're going to have some things in life that you're going to think they're going to go this way. This is how it's going to be. We prayed about it. We've prophesied it. We've decreed it. This is how it is. And sometimes it's not going to be that way. And you're going to have to really sometimes just, if you don't already have it rock solid in you, you're going to have to just back up to the bedrock foundation of your faith and say, you know what? I'm not claiming that I understand this, and I sure ain't claiming that I like it. But I will say this, my God is faithful, and he is true, and his covenant is right and just and good, and I know that in all things God is working together for my good. So therefore, I will rejoice. And when you take that attitude, that the trial may come at you one way, but it's going to flee from you seven ways. You know, you're the blessed, and you're above and not beneath. So in John 14, Jesus told his disciples, don't allow your hearts to be troubled. Don't let trouble trouble you. Can I say it this way? Don't become discouraged. Don't become depressed. Don't get down in the dumps. They were going to watch Jesus be crucified the next day. He knew it. They did not. They couldn't even imagine such a thing. When Jesus tried to tell the disciples, do you ever read that? Jesus tried to tell them over and over in the Gospels. He said, we're going to go into Jerusalem. The Son of Man is going to be handed over to the Gentile. He's going to be beaten and mocked and flogged and crucified, but on the third day, rise from the dead. The closest they got to actually accepting that as truth, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Peter began to rebuke Jesus. That's not a good idea, people. Jesus looked at Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. You have not in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Peter didn't understand what Jesus was saying. The rest of them didn't even get it. Why? Because it was outside their realm of comprehension. It's like, no, this can't be. But we know for a fact that it was all part of God's plan. Ephesians 1:11 says, we know that in all things God is working to conform them to his will. He's working all things in conformity to his will. Ephesians 1:11, God is working all things in conformity to his will. It doesn't say that all things are God's will. COVID, is that God's will? I don't think so. Well, God didn't start it. God's not the author of all that stuff. God didn't start that. That was a man-made virus created in a lab for the destruction of men, a weaponized virus that was never in. If they would have left it alone, no one but bats and monkeys might have ever got it. But they manipulated with science. They manipulated and release something as a weapon, and they did it on purpose to create chaos in the world to bring about. You can say this conspiracy theory if you want to, but I really doesn't matter to me what we might think. Sooner or later, and I believe we're in the process of it, the Bible talks about them trying to create a one-world government, a one-world order, whatever, and to take God out of his place. Well, you look at what's happening in our society, in our world today. It's not a reason for you and I to be troubled, because we know that in all things God's working for our good, Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things God works together for the good of those that love him. Well, do you love God? Yeah. Well, then relax. Don't get lazy, but don't be troubled. Don't go around fretting and stewing and pulling your hair out and wondering what to do. If you need to do something, the Holy Spirit will show you what to do. He'll show you how to handle it. Don't let your heart be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. And then he begins to tell them, in my Father's house, watch this, there are many mansions, many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I'm going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come back and take you to be with me so that you may be where I am. You know the way to the place that I'm going. He says, you know the way where I'm going. Watch this. Next verse, 5. Thomas said to him, which you may know Thomas as Doubting Thomas, because later on when Jesus was crucified and resurrected, he was not with the other disciples. He probably should have been, but he wasn't. Jesus appeared to him, and then Jesus went away again, and Thomas came back, and they said, we've seen the Lord. He's risen. And Thomas said, I don't think so. I doubt it. You know, he didn't really say that. What he actually said was this. He said, I will not. How many know will not is a choice? I will not believe unless I can touch the wounds in his hands and stick my hand in his side where they jabbed him with the spear. He said, unless I can physically touch it or him, I will not believe. You know, there are a lot of people that won't vocalize that, but that's about how they live. Concerning the things of God, they think it's this way. I'll believe it when I see it, or when I touch it, or when I feel it, when I can sense it and know that with my senses that it's a reality, then I'll believe. But that's not faith at all. That's the opposite of faith. Faith is, according to Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of the things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. I like one of the plants. I think it's the Amplified Classic Translation. It says, faith is the title deed that perceives as reality things not yet discerned by the natural senses. In other words, I can't see it, hear it, feel it, taste it, touch it, but I know that it's there. By faith, I know. That's faith. So we're talking today about receiving the promises. How do I receive the promises? Short answer, by faith. But that answer needs some definition, because one person may say, well, I'm in faith. Well, I would have never known if you didn't tell me. I sure can't tell it by the way you act. You know, you ever walk around every day fretting, pulling your hair out and telling me how much in faith you are. I'm having a hard time seeing your faith. You know, one person said, well, what's it like to live by faith? You said, well, how about this? We just act like the Bible's true. We'll just act like God's not a liar. Amen. You know, I don't think there's any of us that would call God a liar. We never would. We wouldn't do that. We wouldn't dare do that. But the truth of the matter is, if I tell you something and I'm telling you the truth, I'm not kidding around or joking, and you know I'm not, and you don't believe me, whether you say it or you don't say it, you are treating me as if I'm a liar. If I said to you today that, you know, hamburger meat's on sale at this particular grocery store, it's flashback to the 80s day or 70s day, it's 88 cents a pound. And you're like, yeah, whatever. You don't go down there to check it out. You don't tell anyone else about it. You do not receive that. It's in essence as if you said, thought I was either joking or I was lying or that sale doesn't apply to you. Maybe for other people, but not for you. Did you get that? Faith is not believing God can. Faith is believing God will. Why? Because he said he would. And if you can't go to the Bible and find where God said he would, faith, Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And that's not just the written word of God. That's the revealed word of God. There's a Greek word for it called rhema. And it means that God makes that, he reveals it to you. He makes that particular word be alive to you in that moment. And when he does, faith comes. So Jesus is talking with his disciples that night. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it. That's a choice. He said, it's a matter of trust. Just trust God. Trust me also. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, Thomas said, Lord, we don't. He said, you know the way, and you know the way to where I'm going in verse 4. And in verse 5, Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? Jesus had just made the statement. Look at it with your own eyes. He said, you know the way to the place where I'm going. You know the way to the place where I'm going. That's what Jesus said. Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, so how can we know the way? In other words, Thomas used his own understanding, his brain, and he literally just vocally disagreed with the living word of God himself, Jesus. See, there are a lot of people that will read in the Bible, and the Bible, Isaiah 53, verse 4, 5, 3, 4, 5, 1 Peter 2:24 quotes it, by his stripes you were healed. There we go. We all know that if you were, you are, because were is past tense. So, but we'll read that, and then we go, well, I ain't healed. I mean, I got a head cold. You realize if you say that, you're putting yourself in direct opposition to what God said. It's just like here when Jesus said, you know the way to where I'm going. You know the way to where I'm going. And you know the way to the place where I'm going. And Thomas said, Lord, we don't know where you're going, and we don't know the way. He argued with Jesus. Now, it doesn't seem like he's, like, arguing. It seems like he's saying, I don't understand. But he's saying it in such a way that he's putting himself in direct opposition to what Jesus said. Maybe Thomas could have stated it this way. Lord, because you say we know the way, I declare we do know the way. I'm not sure what it is at this moment, but I know that I know the way because you said so. You know? You said that's just mind over matter. It's like, no, it's not. It's agreeing with the word of God. And Jesus answered Thomas. Jesus first said, you know the way to where I'm going. Thomas said, basically, no, I don't. And Jesus responded, I am the way, and I'm the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Famous verse, isn't it? John 14:6, famous verse. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Watch this. He said, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well, and from now on you do know him, and you have seen him. Have seen him. That's past tense, isn't it? Just like you were healed. You have seen him. Watch this. Philip said, another one of the lesser known disciples, Thomas Philip. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. That'd be enough for us. What did Jesus just say? He just said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Philip pops up and goes, show us the Father. You know, it's like, man, sometimes you just wonder. But we might have been the same way. I bet there's things in our life that the Lord tells us, and we turn right around and ask him about it, as if he didn't promise anything concerning that. You know, when we worry and when we fret, when we allow ourselves to be troubled over situations, we have the promise of the Lord. concerning just pretty much everything we could ever face. We have a promise for it. We need to get into the Word, find out what God said, get in agreement with what God said. But the number one thing to receiving the promises of God, you ready for this? This is so elementary, so simple, so profound. But we need this. Get ready. Buckle your seatbelt and put on your steel-toed boots. You ready? The number one way, the first thing you got to do to receive the promises of God is quit arguing with the Word and stop doubting what God said. Maybe you're not verbally arguing with the Word. You're not reading the Bible and then arguing with it. You know, Jesus, you said you're the way, the truth, and the life. Well, I don't know about you being, you know, you're not arguing with him. But when you're not in agreement with him, it's pretty much the same thing. So the number one thing for you and I to receive the promises of God is to make sure that we agree with God. We set ourselves in agreement with what the Lord has to say. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you're getting this. And I know it's not rocket science, but it never is and it never was. You know, Jesus was so simple that the farmers got it, the tax collectors got it, the prostitutes got it, but the religious-minded people just totally didn't get it. Am I right? So the things of God are not complicated. It's actually simple. Now, I want you to open up to Psalm 146. We'll read a few verses here in Psalm 146, and we'll take a break and have some prayer requests. But, man, time flies. If I had to live here an hour power all the time, I think I'd be 100 years old next week, you know. Time flies. Kind of like being at church, oh, Monica. Time flies. Somebody say, man, I went to that Living Water Church. Y'all get out of there about 1:15, 1:30 one day. It's like, man, what time you start? 11 o'clock. That's over 2 hours. I'm like, yeah, that's big deal. If we tithe out of our time, we'd give God 2.4 hours every single day. You tell me you can't give him two on Sunday? Come on now. Where's the love? Praise the Lord. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Now remember, our subject today, receiving the promises of God. Receiving the promises. He says, do not put your trust in princes or in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground, and on that very day, their plans come to nothing. Mr. Biden's plans certainly going to come to nothing. I can promise you that. Verse 5, blessed is he, or blessed is the person, whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. The Lord, watch this, who remains faithful forever. That needs to be your attitude. You want to receive the promises of God? That needs to be your attitude. That needs to be my attitude. Our attitude needs to be the Lord remains faithful forever. Now, let's back up here just a little bit. Verse 3, do not put your trust in princes. In my Bible, I made myself a little note here. What is a prince to those people? It's a ruling authority. Let me read it to you in modern translation. Don't put your trust in the government.
Come on.
Come on. They're not your supply. It is not the government's job to supply your needs. It is not the government's job to protect you, to tell you what you should do and what you should not do for your own well-being, they claim. Not really the truth. Actually, they're just trying to control people. If it was about health, they'd follow the science that they claim they follow all the time. They don't follow science. If they followed science, abortion would be illegal. It would be a capital crime, just like first-degree murder is, because it is murder. But because they don't follow science, there are a lot of things that go on in this world. Don't ever, ever, ever believe the lie that all this stuff that's going on, all these mandates and all these restrictions going on around the world, people in Australia getting arrested because they crossed a what we would call like a county line to go into the next county to get Domino's pizza, and they're hauling it back, and they get arrested. They literally get arrested for leaving their zone. If you haven't heard about what's going on around the world, quit watching the lamestream media, that's mainstream, and find some media outlets where you get the truth, like the Victory Channel. There are others. But find out what's going on in the world. Find out what's really going on in the world. They're building camps that they call wellness camps with large fences around them to put people in Australia who won't comply to their lockdowns and who won't take the jab. That's happening. In Europe, people are not allowed to move about freely in certain countries in Europe and ride public transport or anything else without proof of vaccine. And one of the most convenient ways for them to prove that they're vaccinated is by this microchip being placed in their hand. Yes, you heard me. And people are actually volunteering for that. Oh, I want to get that chip in my hand. Why? Oh, it's convenient. Why is it convenient? Because you can't go into this grocery store and buy stuff if you're not vaccinated. Well, boy, that's got some vague, familiar ring to it, doesn't it? In the back of the book here, in Revelations, it talks about a time when there a world ruler who's ruled by a spirit of Antichrist would take power. No one would be able to buy, sell, trade, do go about life without having his mark on their right hand or their forehead. Let me see. Right hand, forehead may literally become a literal thing, but in symbolic terms, the right hand and the forehead are both symbols of authority. So to submit to tyrannical authority that's ungodly is basically the same thing. So that's not my subject today, though. But what is my subject is receiving the promises. Why? Because the more and more we see the plan of the world unfold, it's not a surprise to God. Don't get worried. Don't let your heart be troubled. But the more and more we see these end time events unfold, the more we need to be able to actually receive the promises of God. So number one thing to receive the promises of God, don't argue with God. Take God at his word. Get in agreement with what God said. Do not put your trust in princes, government authorities, in man. We'll talk more about that when we come back from having our prayer requests. I know we've got a couple, and there's some people that I want to pray for too, so we'll take those prayer requests.